Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Sue Ann, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Lavelle Deal sitting in with us, Star Tribune sports columnist, in for Jim the rest of this week. Lavelle is down at spring training with the Twins. Thanks for joining us, Lavelle. And I'm going to talk to you about the Twins, your column most recently, about their starting rotation and so forth. But the big news today here in the Twin Cities area, of course, the injury to Karl-Anthony Towns with a meniscus injury. Don't know how serious yet, but what kind of a kink does that throw in the wrench for the Timberwolves?
Well, it's definitely an issue for the Wolves here. Especially as of now, we don't know the severity of the injury or what the course of action is going to be. Mm-hmm. It could be a lot of things. He could get away with just rehab. He could have a minor procedure done as a stopgap that would help him get back on the court and play some games before the postseason, and then have another surgery during the offseason, or something that he may need surgery immediately, which could, you know, affect his ability to play at any point the rest of the way or in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So we have to get an idea of how severe the meniscus injury is. So I will say this, though. You have a six-man like Naz Reid. You have a guy who can go right into that lineup and give them a lot of things. He can shoot from the perimeter. He can play defense. He can run the court. So I don't know if he's cat light, but you know, he's definitely a good option to have around when something like this happens. So the problem is it could stretch the depth elsewhere. Does that mean Kyle Anderson has to play in a more prominent role? Or some of the other guys they have on the roster as well. So, but it's a blow, especially since the Wolves play a unique brand of basketball with the two big men set up. Reed can help continue that, or Chris Finch may look to play a different way. So, curious to see how they land tonight against the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible it's Kyle Anderson that steps into the starting lineup. Maybe he does go with a little smaller lineup once in a while out there with Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Not necessarily starting, but we could see more wings on there. And then Jaden McDaniels, of course, his offense has been ascending here in the last couple of weeks. Be nice to get, you know, 3-4 more points a game from him.
Yeah, you got to have diverse scoring, especially once you get in the postseason, because in those games, the defensive schemes are designed to take away things more than they are during the regular season, and they're going to need other guys to contribute, especially if Cat's not going to play. And Jaden McDaniels has it in him, and he was making progress to being a more complete player offensively and defensively, but it hasn't really clicked for him in that regard. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be tough on him to play offensively tonight, because he's probably going to have to guard Tyrese Haliburton, who's a stud. And he may have to focus most of his attention on being a good defensive player while supplying a functional offense. But the Wolves may need more than just functional in order to pull off this victory tonight and to continue their good run of fortune in the Western Conference.
Yeah, Haliburton is like a 6'4", 6'5", guard. It just speaks to how good defensively McDaniels is. Is there I suppose, except for the really big guys in the NBA, and they don't need him to guard those generally because of Rudy Gobert, he could pretty much guard any position.
Absolutely. That makes him real versatile. And then you can match him with the other team's best offensive player. And like your chances with that. So that's a good thing, having a team. That's what, you know, it means a lot to Cat. Cat's absence, you know, the defense that the Wolves are able to play with him and Gobert in the lineup at the same time has been one of the driving forces behind their success. So with him out as well, he's going to, the remaining players, someone's going to have to step up and try to, don't have to play like Cat, but you have to continue the fundamentally sound things that Chris Finch has tried to instill on his team, especially when it comes to playing good disciplined defense.
There is a little school of thought that says maybe without the two big men out there at the same time, because Naz is certainly more comfortable going to the corner than Karl-Anthony Towns is, maybe it frees things up for Anthony Edwards a little bit on some of his drives.
Yeah, that could possibly be an outcome of this, but on the offshoot too, they may clamp down on that. You're trying to find and make Jaden McDaniels beat them, or Kyle Anderson beat them, or Naz Reid, and see how that works out. It's going to be intriguing, because going forward, he's going to be taking notes of how this team is playing without Cat. And that will help their defensive schemes once the postseason comes. So it's going to be a little kind of fascinating to see how this plays out, what line of combinations Finch goes with, style of play, how much does having one big out affect their two big men format that they play?
It'll be interesting to see. Hopefully it's not too serious for Cat. Lavelle is down at spring training. Tell us about how long you've been down there, Lavelle, and what's kind of stood out to you so far.
Yeah, I got down here on Monday night, so like Tuesday was my first day at the park. The thing about this is I think the bullpen is going to be pretty doggone good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got some returners like Griffin Jacks and Caleb Thielbar, Ori Alcala is healthy, and you got the man, Jaron Duran, closing out games. But, you know, Brock Stewart being healthy for us the whole season is huge. But they added the left-hander Okert from the Marlins and traded, and Justin Topa came over from the trade with the Marlins. They got a bunch of veterans now in that bullpen. They got a bunch of guys like between 30 and 32 or 33, you know, who have been around the block a little bit. And that can help them in big situations. So I think the bullpen's going to be better than it was a year ago. I like the potential of the offense. We have to remember that Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa both combined for like 1.8 WAR like last year, which is unheard of for two guys who are usually averaging 4.0 WAR in this season. If they can play close to that, then that offense is really going to take off, because I think we should all be encouraged by what we saw out of the debuts of Edouard Julian, Matt Wallner, and Roy Lewis when he finally got healthy. So you put the Correa Bucks in the middle of that when they're playing closer to their career norm, and this offense has a chance to sell. And both these things are important, because I don't know if the rotation is as strong as it was last year with the departure of Sonny Gray, even the departure of Kenta Maeda. You know, they're losing two quality guys, and you're losing a guy in Gray who was second in the Cy Young Award voting. And that's giving me cause for concern, because the best part of their team last year, I thought, felt was the rotation, where they knew they can get 6 or 7 out of a guy almost every night and didn't have to blow up the bullpen. But that could flip right now if they don't find an adequate replacement for Gray.
Yeah.
I think the key is Chris Paddock. Paddock's got a live arm. He's looked pretty good at camp, although he's gotten hit a little bit. But he feels great. Attitude-wise, he feels fantastic. And they need him to be a guy in that rotation. You know, it's asking a lot for a guy who only pitched 5 games for the Twins before dropping down because of Tommy John surgery. But he's recovered, and he feels positive. He believes he has a new elbow, and he is going to show that the Twins were wise in trading for him.
And ahead of him, Pablo Lopez and Bailey Ober, Joe Ryan. Is it Lopez is the unquestioned one, it seems, but what's the rest of the rotation look like?
Yeah, you'll see probably Ryan, too, and Ober, 3, with Paddock, 4, and 5 is going to be interesting. I think they traded for Anthony DeSclafani to be that 5th startup, but he hasn't pitched in the game yet because he had a little bit of a sore elbow, and we're 2 times in through the rotation, so I don't know if he's going to be ready for opening day. You know, that's a concern of mine going forward, unless all of a sudden he pops up on the mound tomorrow and brings it against the Pirates and proves that he can come north with the team. I do not see that. So Louis Varland, North St. Paul's own, could get a chance to be the 5th starter, right? Which he wants to do. He likes being a starter. He knows how much money starters can make. Although the Twins really like Varland when he worked out of the bullpen in the playoffs, because the stuff all played up 2 miles an hour faster. He looks sharper. He looks like he could be dominant. So, but they need him in a rotation right now. So Louis's going to be a starter going forward.
Yeah, he's. We have the Wilmer Stingers in the Northwoods League here, and he played out here one season as well. So we're all excited about Louis Varland's chances or opportunities as well. Yeah, it's interesting. Correa struggled offensively, and he said he feels so much better this year. That plantar fasciitis, man, that can really limit you. And he kind of battled through that last year. A healthy Correa and productive could make a big difference in that lineup.
Yeah, I've had plantar, and it took me 6 weeks to fully recover from it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the best thing you do for it is stay off the foot. You know, he couldn't afford to do that last year because the Twins weren't exactly running away with the division. They needed him out in the field and at the plate to provide whatever you could. But the plantar fascia strain, affected his offense, his balance in the box where he could step with his foot. And subsequently, it leaked to his batting average. It was a terrible offensive season. He's aware of that. He started swinging a bat in November this year, which is a few weeks earlier than normal, to try to find the swing that he wants to have this season. He believes he's found it. And, you know, if he and Buck can stay in the lineup together for, like, 120 games each, thin. This was off of being in good shape.
Lavelle, thanks so much. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Hey, take it easy.
You bet. Lavelle Neal joining us here on Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.